No matter what you're looking for in a non-alcoholic beer, there's only one name that has it all. Athletic Brewing Co. Full flavor? It's athletic. Huge variety? It's athletic. Award-winning styles you can get online, at the bar, or the grocery store? It's athletic. In fact, when it comes to amazing non-alcoholic beer, there's no question. It's athletic. Ask for it and find out. Go to askforathletic.com to find your closest retailer today. Near beer.
And we're live.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Kinda Funny's Christopher Nolan in Review. That's right. We are ranking and reviewing every movie directed by Christopher Nolan. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by Greg Miller. Hooah! Nick Scarpino.
Hello. Hooahs.
Kevin Coelho.
Hooah!
And Andy Cortez.
Hooah!
Yeah, rounding it out. You gotta love it.
I couldn't think of any quotes from Any Given Sunday. That's my fault.
That is your fault. Next time, that's your homework for next week.
We're here each and every week right here
on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. On Tuesdays, we do Christopher Nolan in Review. On Fridays, we do Studio Ghibli's Miyazaki in Review. Today, we are talking about Insomnia, but I want to let you know you can watch it live on Twitch. You can watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. You can also listen to this as a podcast by searching for Kind of Funny Reviews, and we will be right there for you. If you want to get the show ad-free, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers, Muhammad Muhammad and Al Tribesman did. Like I said, we're talking about Insomnia today, a movie featuring Robin Williams. Today would have been Robin Williams' 69th birthday. Mm-hmm. So this episode is in honor of his life. There we go.
Remember when he guilted Cool Greg at the Blockbuster in San Francisco for not renting his movie when he was a kid?
Because Cool Greg rented You Got Served? Yeah, I'll never forget it. Robin Williams,
steak fan.
The quick version of the story is Robin Williams used to live near me in the house I grew up at. And every once in a while, like, we'd see him at like the card store when we bought Pokemon cards when he was there with his son and shit. And at the local Blockbuster, we'd run into him every once in a while. My brother was renting You Got Served. Robin Williams was in line in front of us, turned back and looked at him and said, "Hey, I'm not in that one. Why are you getting it?" And like really, really shamed Cool Greg. And you could imagine how
it really affected Cool Greg. Really,
it was not well.
I feel like those long lasting effects are still there to this day.
He went and tagged for the first time that night. That's what drove him to the streets. You know,
gotta love it, man. You gotta love it. Today we're talking about Insomnia. Released on May 24th, 2002. A movie that will live in infamy for me and Kevin because it is the first movie that we ever went to the theater to watch a movie and ended up just staying at the theater all day for.
Nice.
You know? So we saw three movies that day, including Super Troopers.
Oh.
And that changed our lives.
I didn't put those, because this movie is the first movie that I ever fell asleep in. Which is ironic.
Yeah.
So directed once again by Christopher Nolan. As of 2017, this is the only film directed by Nolan in which Nolan does not have an official writing credit, even though he wrote the final draft of the official screenplay they went with. This film stars three Academy Award winners, Al Pacino, Hilary Swank, and Robin Williams. And it is Nolan's only modern film post-2000 not nominated for any major awards. As of 2019, this is Christopher Nolan's last R-rated film. All of the films he's directed since have been rated PG-13 and under Warner Brothers. So, like, the modern Nolan starts with the next movie. A budget of $46 million and a box office of $113.8 million. A runtime of 1 hour and 58 minutes. This was a remake. Did you guys know that?
I did not.
No.
Sleepless in Seattle, right?
So, yeah. is this based off?
Dude, that was good. what, Kevin?
Is this based off a Stephen King book?
I don't think so.
I didn't see anything about that, but I did see that it was a remake of a 1997 film, Norwegian film called Insomnia, where Al Pacino's character was played by Stellan Skarsgård, who is Erik Selvig from Thor and Papa Skarsgård. of the Skarsgård brothers.
There's so many Skarsgårds.
Papa Skarsgård of the Skarsgård brothers.
Oh, wait, hold on. I think The other Skarsgård is I know the True Blood Skarsgård. Who's the other Skarsgård?
The guy that played It was a Skarsgård brother as
Bill.
Well.
Really?
Bill Skarsgård, yeah. He was also in the movie Villains.
He got all the Uggo genes.
No, we got this confused one day. I forgot what show we were talking on, but there was a guy named Sarsgaard without a K that we thought was part of the family. And I searched him and I was like, oh, his name is misspelled a bunch of places. Nope, his name was just Sarsgaard without the K. It was very confusing.
So I see my confusion here. Stephen King does have a book called Insomnia, not related to this at all. So
gotcha. Yeah, I'm going to guess Stephen King's book is a lot more horror.
It's Dark Tower shit.
Yeah. This movie was so fascinating because I remember watching it the first time and just completely not thinking about it again. And going back and watching it with a slightly more critical eye, Danielle made an interesting observation. She's like, you know, it's not really a murder mystery story considering you kind of know exactly who does it from about the midpoint on. And it's true. What's so cool about this story that he's telling, and it's so Nolan, is that the movie is less about the mystery of who killed this person and more about like examining the sins of the past and his similarities from like being a cop to this murderer. And I think it's so well done that actually knowing sort of how it plays out, but not remembering the specifics was, I think, virtuous for me.
What is Greg smiling about? Why is he?
I made the mistake of glancing at the chat. I'm sorry. Jabambis 92 says one of the Sarsgaard is playing Randall Flagg in the stand. I just thought a lot of those words were funny.
Greg, his name is Jambis, not Jabambis.
Jabambis.
I'm having too much fun today.
Finishing up talking about the remake here, real quick. Eric with a very complicated last name, the director of the original film, said of Nolan's reinterpretation, I haven't seen it for quite a while, but when I first saw it, it was a very strange experience because it was very close stylistically to the original. I felt lucky that such a well-crafted, smart film and had really good director handling it, because as a remake, I think it did really well and it doesn't hurt any original if a remake is well done. This is one of those rare cases. Mm. So I felt very lucky that Christopher Nolan was the one to take it upon himself to do it. There was a lot of things changed. The original was a lot darker. The dog that they shoot was not dead.
Oh.
In the original one, which I don't like at all.
I didn't like the dead dog.
He was undead. He was a zombie.
Oh.
When Dormer does the reckless driving thing to scare the girl, he's a little more rapey in the original, and like he doesn't like do the car thing. He like gets a little handsy. And Dormer essentially rapes the hotel clerk in the original. So they're like, we're gonna change all that stuff.
I feel like that changes the tone a lot.
That changes the movie a lot.
That changes Dormer a lot.
It does.
Yeah, I was going to say, this movie, Dormer just had like made a bad decision, right? Mm-hmm. And like, well, I guess two, but like they led him down this path, whereas in that movie sounds like he deserves everything he's about to get.
They changed the ending in pretty drastically, where he lives and he the movie away. Ends with him getting away, but like the final shot's him driving and it's clear that he's like going crazy and still has insomnia and is like not going to be able to kick it.
So. Damn. That's a very, very dreary ending. I thought this movie was cool as shit, man.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. The again, it sort of has those you could tell this writing isn't like Nolan, right? Right off the bat, you could tell that this isn't going to do anything weird or whatever. But I love that it still has those Nolan little touchstones of, you know, whenever there's like a very stressful scene, it'll just like silently cut away to another shot then come back really quick. And I love whenever Nolan does that. I think it's so like artsy and shit. But yeah, I expected to not like this one because it was so not Nolan, because it was just kind of a movie that would be on the USA Network at 4 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
But it was cool shit. I'm glad that that In Review is sort of introducing us to these like shows that movies that I would have never watched otherwise. Greg, why are you laughing, Greg?
What is it? What
I'm
word
sorry,
now
guys.
Made
it's
you
just
laugh?
Really there's just a lot of good stuff on the internet today, right? Because I was getting ready for
a lot of stuff on the internet. Yeah.
Right, interview summary, right? And I was like, oh, they're gonna land on a water plane. I'm like, wait, I know there's a better word for water plane. So I googled seaplane? Water plane. It came up with seaplane. I was like, oh, can I get a factoid? I click on the Wikipedia link. And it's titled Seaplane. And then the first thing it says on the page is for Bob's Burger episode, see Seaplane. And it's a hyperlink to that. Oh my god, imagine being an invention with the first thing on your Wikipedia page is Bob's fucking burgers. I tell you guys, a lot of people they want to poo-poo 2020 because of the pandemic and the racial injustices and the fucking crushing pressure of life. But if you open your eyes and smell the roses, occasionally there's something to laugh at in your fucking jail cell of a life.
You get Jabambis talking about weird cell. Words in chat.
Wait, yeah. Miller, did you find a better word for seaplane?
No, seaplane is the word that I was going to say. Waterplane.
Okay. Water. Because there's also amphibious flying boat. Which is pretty cool.
Is that I got to imagine then? That's the most rough landing of all time. Like when I think about planes having rough landing, like you're landing on choppy water that's moving. It's got to be the scariest thing of all time.
Yeah, if you're coming down fast, you're creating wind. You're slowing it down for yourself. You're getting rid of. I see more like
stone skipping, you know, and that looks like kind of chill and fun.
It's everyone's not. Life.
Everyone's life that Captain Sully Sullenberger saved. They said it was a smooth landing on the Hudson.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hudson.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed this movie a lot. I think it's really good.
Did they say it was a smooth landing?
I think they were terrified. Spectacular overall. And I feel like it was cool, but it kind of just like it reminded me of like a really, really good SVU episode as opposed to a Christopher Nolan movie. Yeah. And it's like kind of hard to separate those things when it's like, but Nick, what you were bringing up of like, it isn't really that because it's like there is so much focus more on the character side of things. But I was kind of just always hoping there was going to be some moment where I'll go, oh, this is really cool. And like the moment where it's Robin Williams and him on the little ferry and they're having the conversation and it's like, oh shit, they're just revealing it all here. Like it's all on the table. Like they both know about each other and it's all there. I was like, this is cool. Where are they going to go with it? And I thought where they went with it was like, this is good. This is like I'd give the movie a B. Like,
that's the thing for me. It's not a thriller. You start watching it and you think, oh, this is going to be somewhere like tonally like Silence of the Lambs, where it's scary as shit at moments and it's all building, sort of like a Denis Villeneuve movie, where you're like it's slow burning tension, building. But they just completely change it about 180 degrees right when they meet, and it becomes more of a drama. And it still has thriller esque moments, but it's really just about his like de-evolving into this madness because and I love, by the way, the thematic use of the light. Like no matter what he does, there's always light being shed in on his darkness and he cannot stop that, and it's driving him crazy until the very, very end when he decides to do the right thing and sacrifice himself and save the Hilary Swank character, and then finally he can go to sleep. It's just super, it's well done, but you get to the point where you're like, I'm just interested to see how these two people are going to interact with each other. It's less about catching Robin Williams and more about seeing like how is this character going to absolution?
And Pacino's ever evolving sort of exhaustion, I think, is really cool.
Yeah.
I think there's a stark difference from where he is at the beginning of the movie towards the end, where
totally
in any conversation, like I feel like we've all been there, where there's a conversation happening, you're just kind of like oh my god, like I've been on 6 hours of sleep in the last 2 days. This is really
usually
rough
day
right now.
Three of E3 for me. That's usually what I'm like. What are you saying? I don't understand it.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I was just going to say the similar things where I feel like what Nolan does best is kind of getting us to feel the perspective of the protagonist, where there are certain moments where it like shows how tired he is, like when he's driving and we start seeing the flashes of random stuff, where it's like, that's what it feels like to be that tired. And I feel like most of us, maybe not to the extent of 6 days, but we've been, like pushed ourselves to like extreme exhaustion. So it's like so many of those moments where like things just seem cloudy, like rang so true with like, oh man, I could kind of feel that in the way they shot it. And that was really cool.
Yeah. Well done. Definitely. Well. Also, how fucked up would it be to be in that town and never, and like there's that great moment where he's like, let's go pull this kid, okay, let's go pull this kid out of school. She's like, it's 10 o'clock. He's like, that's right, whoa, let's go pull him out of school. She's like, it's 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck. And then there's just that moment where he's wandering around at night trying to like
trying to be
the bullet
trying to
the
do
dog.
Bad stuff trying to do
and
bad stuff
broad
everyone
daylight
can see you.
It's just such an interesting like you
really
like,
cool.
like thematic storytelling, because he can't, no matter what he does, he cannot get away from the light. It's so cool.
It's a cool fictional world. It's a cool fictional world they built with how the time works. It's really
I'm so glad that that's not a real thing in Alaska.
Dude, can you imagine how cool it would be for it to be night for 5 months and you just sleep
for two months? That's how people get depressed, Kevin.
Yeah, people that, like, you know, that aren't me. Like, I would just sleep for like long stretch of time there.
Paula would not allow you to do that. You know that.
Yeah, she would. She'd sleep because it was dark. Kevin, what else are you going to do?
Kevin, think about 30 Days of Night.
Vampires, no, yeah.
Vampires.
Sure.
It's in Alaska.
But for 5 months.
Damn.
Yeah.
Either way, it looked beautiful.
What a joy to have Al Pacino in a movie. You know what I mean? Usually here on these interviews, like I said, they're just giving us dog shit. You know what I mean? Here's Captain America. Here's Spider-Man. Here's
an actor. The Irishman in review, and we can do 14 hours of Al Pacino.
We should do that. We should watch Heat at some point because him.
I've never seen Heat. I'd love to see.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Robert De Niro's in that too, right?
And I love Val Kilmer, and I love Robert De Niro.
Let's watch Goodfellas.
Melissa McCarthy.
So let's start here. We're talking about Al Pacino.
That's the Heat, you asshole.
Insomnia. All right. Keanu Reeves is a lawyer. He's a small town lawyer. But then he gets a big case and he stops it. And then this guy's like, do you want to come work for me?
No, Greg, that's the devil's advocate, Greg. Yeah. And that's awesome.
Look, but don't touch. Touch, but don't taste. Taste, but don't enjoy.
What a fucking movie, The Devil's Advocate. Are you kidding me right now?
Really?
And that's the thing. The only thing that can top Al Pacino is Al Pacino. And we should do Al Pacino interview. I'm putting it out right now. The motion passes. Andy, put it in the log, please. Captain's log. There it is. Andy's doing it. Thank you very much. We're flying over Alaska, everybody, in a seaplane. And guess what? It's choppy up here.
From Bob's Burgers.
No, not the infamous Bob Burger episode. It's called Seaplane. It was a different one. You got a lot of ice up there. You know what I mean? Cool. I want you to think about this. Next time you go to the gas station, you get yourself a 7-Eleven Slurpee, and you get a bag of ice on the way out. Think about Al Pacino. He might have flown over that ice at one point. Because this place looks like fucking Krypton up there. I digress. They're flying. It's
Why are we getting our ice from Alaska still?
That's how ice is made.
Kevin, yeah, what are you talking about? I don't want your California ice, all right? I've seen the warnings. Everything's got cancer causing ingredients here. You know what I mean? Every time I try to walk into a Buffalo Wild Wings, I got to be warned. Sucks.
Yeah, that's true.
I digress. We're flying. It's Dormer. It's Hap. They're up there. There's a pilot, too, but he doesn't matter. He doesn't get a name, all right? He's a pilot. He looks pretty young. I wouldn't trust him, but, you know, it's Alaska. You got to do what you got to do. Dad probably got eaten by a bear. Mom kicked by a mule, I think. They're up there, they're flying, right? Actually, now that I've talked about it, I want the pilot's backstory. This sounds fascinating. You know, because I imagine mom got kicked by the mule early. Mom got kicked early.
Yeah.
Dad got eaten by the bear more recently, and this guy's got to fly the family business that is planes. Anyways,
Greg, you could just make up your own backstory.
Like, he just did. None of that was canon.
All right. So they're flying up from old L.A., Los Angeles, La La Land. You know what I'm saying. Anyways, they're having a terrible time in this plane. Dormer's going over some case files, looking at some photos of a dead person. Meanwhile, Hap's got the fucking LA Times still, and he won't even get his head around the case because he's reading about themselves and an investigation that's been launched into their LAPD department. But we'll talk about that later. Hoo-ah. So instead, yeah, Dormer lays it out that they're up there, you know, perhaps getting plane sick or whatever, blah, blah. They land. They're in Alaska. Hillary Swank, million-dollar baby herself, rolls up, and she's going to give these two a ride to the police precinct because she's a policeman, too. And she's like, guess what? I went to school, and I studied your case, Dormer. I just think you're the best. You're the cream cheese on my bagel. And he's like, thanks, man. That means a lot to me. Wow. And this she's like, I'll take you to the hotel. He's like, fuck the hotel. Let's go straight to the station. She's like, yeah, most cases are solved in the first 72 hours. And he's like, 48 now. We've already lost a day. And so they drive fucking over to the police station. They get to this Alaska police station, right? And there's just this fucking fat cop there. You know what I mean? Yeah. And he's all like, hey, what's up? I'm glad you came up here to help me. I didn't expect them to send you, Dormer. Of course, we are old cop friends. We go way back to cop school junior year. You know what I mean? And he's like, yeah, that was the time. And they have like a little flashback. Hogwarts. Exactly, like a Hogwarts. And so it's like, all right, cool. You're really accepting. You're glad we're here. Let's get, you know, all the information, meet the other cops. So we go in there and all the other cops, they fucking hate this guy. And it's mainly the guy from Boston Public. If you remember Boston Public, a great Fox show, this is the guy who brought a gun to school. He was the teacher and he brought a gun to school. And that's how we knew he was a bad boy.
Yeah.
He's there with this pencil thin mustache.
Was he a bad boy or was he like?
No, he was a. I can't remember if he was a good teacher, but he's not the teacher who had sex with the student in Boston Public. So that's the curve we're grading on. And then also Jerry Hall was in this show. Nick Scarpino.
Is this the show with where Drake was on?
No, that's Degrassi, that's High you're thinking of. Canadian this one, show. Rashida Jones was on. Rashida Jones, first.
She was in Degrassi?
She's awesome.
No, she was in Boston Public.
Oh.
Jim Halpert.
Tim, I'm putting it on the table, too. Boston Public in review.
Jim Halpert just fucked her
so
over.
So these are the pencil thin Boston Public cop. He doesn't like this. He doesn't like that he's there. And he's like, and he's like, Dormer's like, let's go see the body. And he's like, it's in the case file. It's like, I want to see the body. Why do you want to see the body? I got to see the body. I'm this thing. They eventually go see the body, right? It's like, back down, Alaska boy. All right. I don't care how many seals you've clubbed this morning. This guy got flown in from LA for this murder. You're not going to stand in the fucking way. Get out of the way with your stupid mustache.
You and your stereotypes. They're clubbing seals now, huh?
No, that's not a stereotype about Alaska people. It's very much this guy from Boston Public,
okay,
all right?
Thank you.
You can
see
it on his
hands. Thanks for the clarification, Greg.
Yeah.
No, if you're in Alaska right now, I understand you probably just crawled over a moose carcass on your way to work. I'm sorry that if you were insulted by the stereotype I was giving you, all right?
Why would you crawl over a moose? I mean, that'd be like a lot of blood that you get on yourself with all the decomposition and stuff. Mooses are big.
I know they are. Well, that's why you got to crawl up them. It's like Everest. You know what
that's
I mean?
Fair. Don't walk around them. Crawl up them. They always say,
you never know what other kind of apex predator is waiting around the body. Think of it like very tremors. True. All right. If you're on the rock, you're safe.
We are going the gambit today. We are just going the full. You bring it. Don't bring Tremors into this unless you're really ready to do Tremors 1.
Interview. Tim, I'd like to see Tremors interview.
Andy, put it on the log.
Andy, please put it in the log. All right, guys. So. Jen
we're
just
so
Jen
dumb. Just,
I see Jen come over the Slack. What the fuck are you doing? Anyway.
What he does best. So
they go to see the body now, right? And they get down there and he's like, it's in the report. Because they're talking about like how she got, you know, blunt force trauma, all this stuff, whatever.
Which is like, rude. It's like, report. Stop saying it so much. It's fine. I'm sure you did your job great. He just wants to see it.
He washed her hair after he killed her, right? He cut her nails. How do you know that? Because the paint ain't there. She painted them beforehand. Ooh, now she got them. Wow. They're like, oh, fuck. This is shit we didn't see. We don't know anything about hair and nails here in Alaska. We're shitty cops. You're a great cop from LA, apparently. And then meanwhile, Hap's tapping the newspaper and he's like, are you? Don't ask any questions.
Ooh, I'll tell you what. It looks so gross. It was like the actual, like, scissor, like, little tiny scissors cutting the nails.
Hate it.
Yeah. Like, hate I just, it. Like, just get some bigger nail clipper. Just the Have idea ever- of.
You don't like using little scissors?
Kevin, I can't deal with nail stuff.
Every once in a while.
I cannot deal with nail stuff, dude.
Nick Sarfino, kind of funny.
Cut someone else's nails?
No.
It is not a pleasant experience. Not pleasant.
I disagree.
Tim Gates, kind of funny.
Hold on, Andy. You just said everybody knows you don't like nail stuff. Did anyone here know that?
No.
Andy, can you please dive a little deeper into this? Not too deep, but...
I just can't deal with nail stuff. Whenever there's anything with a nail in a movie where it's... where people are getting tortured and they're like pulling off nails. You know, like Game of Thrones kind of
thing. I get that, but like just cutting nails? Just, what about painting nails?
Just nail stuff. No. I think that stuff is a little bit more peaceful for sure. But when we start to deal with torture and like weird nail mutilation, that's where it's just like,
Andy,
I can't do it. Nails and
the,
eyes.
What if they're easy putting purse. The old bamboo between the nails and the finger? No,
can't do that. No. Can't do that.
What about that old commercial for the foot fungus cream and like the foot fungus? They like lifted the lid and there was all these like
disgusting. It made me really want to buy that. I've never had foot fungus.
But you want to be prepared in case.
Just in case. Just in case.
That's the first PG-13 commercial ever.
Nick Scarpino.
What about the seminal scene in the movie Biodome where Pauly Shore is biting Stephen Baldwin's nails off, his toenails off with his teeth?
I don't remember that scene.
Just ripping them off. You like that scene?
I watched Wild with Reese Witherspoon over the weekend. That's
how was that?
Hurt.
That's when she hikes across America.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
I want to watch Into the Wild. Like,
you know, we get it. Like, I understand. Like, you know what I mean? It's, you know, do you want to? You want to be one of these like granola people, right? Who's like, oh, I'm gonna fucking find myself out on the trail. Like, you know, that's what I mean. That's what you're getting.
You're gonna die. I mean, that's the spoiler.
What happened to the movie with Harrison Ford and the CG dog?
That came out. That came out.
Did it?
Rave reviews.
Yeah. Call of the Wild. Yeah, came out. Everyone was like, Harrison Ford. Get off my plane.
Is that Call of the Wild? Is that right?
Yeah, it's Jack London.
And then we saw it wasn't Andy Serkis, but it was fake ass Andy Serkis doing his dog impression.
And it was like Nick, someone called him and said, Andy, we know that you can do the Gollum. We know that you can do, of course, Planet of the Apes. But have you ever tried doing a dog? And after 6 months of intensive research, Andy Serkis got back to that producer and said, I'm fairly confident I can do the Call of the Wild, the dog. And then he
It wasn't Andy Serkis.
I just imagine Andy Serkis. They're like this. Oh, fuck, man. We really need a table. Andy, can you play a table real quick? And he's like, 6 months of research, and then I can play that table.
I hope someday you interview him and you do a great job.
Let's put it this way. I would love to interview. I would definitely do a great job. Secondly,
I love that sounded like a threat from Kevin.
Well, no, he just did a phenomenal interview with Eric Roberts, and it's one of those things where it's like, I actually would like to see you sit down with Andy Serkis.
After, like,
2 weeks of you doing research nonstop, just watching every movie he's in. And then, you do a great job.
Dude, are you kidding me? I would talk to him exclusively about Matt Reeves' Planet of the Apes and how hard that project was. But
I haven't watched the third one yet.
So I have. It's really good. They're all great.
Yeah.
Anyway, Pacino's hoo-wahing over there.
And so he's like, all right, I've seen enough of this dead body. Take me to her house. And he's like, it's in the report. And he's like, if you say it's in the report one more time, I'm going to show you why these are registered weapons. And they're like, oh, my God, this guy knows judo. Let him go.
Yeah.
And so they go to the house, and they start digging through her room like real creeps. You know what I mean? These just – they're getting off on it, but they're going through the trash and they find a photo torn in, or they find the photo torn half on top of it. Then they go through the trash. They find the second part. Who's this? It's her best friend. Funny. Doesn't look like a best friend, man. Because she tore it up and threw one halfway. And they find books there, and they find a necklace there that's very expensive. They find a very expensive dress there that could her boyfriend afford this? They say.
Designer.
And they say, no, of course not. He's a high school student. High school students can't afford that. We've never heard of cocaine and how you could sell that and flip it for – we've never played Chinatown Wars. And they're like, all right, that's it. Let's fucking get his ass in here. I want to talk to him right now. And they're like, all right, cool. But let's go to school. Let's grab him. I want to make a big statement. And they're like, it's 10 o'clock. And he's like, I know it's 10 o'clock. You don't go to fucking school in Alaska. And they're like, it's 10 o'clock at night. And he's like, oh, I got played. Oh, you know what I mean? He does that. Oh, Al Pacino.
I wasn't sure. I thought you were going to go, oh.
Yeah, I thought that was coming too.
We'll see.
I do like the line that he responds to, where it's very much like an old, like, grandfather kind of talking to you, like, yeah, of course I knew about the sun.
Wait, yeah, it was cute. You didn't know that Hap? I'm like, oh, man, him and Hap are thick as thieves. I love it. Cut over to the restaurant here now, or at the hotel, where they check in, and Hap's kind of flirty with the woman who's running the front desk, who's the woman, of course, from News Radio, whose actual name escapes me, but
Moira,
I know her. Thank you very much. Yeah, she was great. Her and Dave Foley. Remember, they had a whole.
If you've never seen News Radio, and I don't know if it's, I don't think it's streaming anywhere, which is a travesty. It's a great show. Phil Hartman's best work.
What's her name?
What about Boston Public? Is that a good show?
Actually, it was a good show. Yeah, that was one with James Bader and James T. Kirk, right? Okay. No. That was Boston Legal. Boston Public is the one you were referring to.
Boston Legal, great show. A sequel to The Practice, remember, which was another good show for a while there.
Was it really?
Yeah, I grew up liking it. I don't know if it was good or not. I remember watching it. Dylan McDermott, Laura Flynn Boyle.
I was about to say Mara, whatever her name is, was in Liar Liar. Remember her?
Yeah, she was the wife. She was the mom in my film.
Anyways, they check in there, and Hap's kind of flirting with her, and then Dormer's like, just a business, and Hap makes a funny comment about underneath his, like, you know, laughable exterior or whatever. He's very down to business. Like, and then he's like, do you have a restaurant? Yeah, we do. It's about to close. We'll be fast. They go over there. All they got is halibut, because again, we're in what, Nightshade, Alaska, something like that. It's got a cool name.
Nightmute,
Alaska.
It totally Halibut sounds like a world in a Remedy game.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
100%. It's the halibut capital of the world, so that's all on the menu, and so they're making fun of that.
Delicious.
And then fish hawks. Pacino goes, I can't wait to see what they have for dinner or dessert. Yeah.
Now, if you eat halibut, when you order it, you can say, I'll have the halibut just for the halibut.
Thank you, Nick.
Does that turn you around?
No, it doesn't. You know what I mean?
Greg, how do you feel about ceviche?
That's raw, right?
A little guac mixed in?
Yeah, no, raw fish.
Well, I mean, it's not. It's cooked in the lemon juices.
Okay, then ceviche in general just gets passed on my
list. Raw fish is okay, but cooked fish isn't?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You're a special boy.
Fuck this shit.
Just letting you know. Andy, again, here's the thing. Everybody else here wants to dunk on me. I understand it, but they're allowed to because they've eaten things, all right? Shut up with your no mac and cheesy. You're worse than me. And I want you to know that.
I don't want to agree with this man, but he's right.
Look at my fucking eyes, Andy.
You're an American who's never had a fucking corn dog.
Look at me. Jokes aside, motherfucker. I'm saying you're worse than me on the spectrum of things you don't eat and don't like, all right? So let that sink in tonight. When you go back to that little fucking bed, all right? That little purple bed.
that I want to curl up so bad in. I want you to go back there and think about it. But everyone on the internet thinks you think I'm bad. They think you're worse.
You didn't know where to go with that.
He got there, though.
Do I ever know where I'm going at any point when I jump? This is the fun thing about improv, and this is why I think the Upright Citizens Brigade sucks. They make such a big deal about it. Look at us here. Look at us. We're doing it. Look at this. It's a taco. You know what I mean? Anything can be anything.
They say the best improv happens. And
I came up with the pilot's backstory in 2 seconds. You don't see me getting any Emmys over here. I digress.
It's true.
Mara Tierney was in the UCB. Just a fun little anecdote.
Who's that?
What?
The person from
News Radio Woman.
Yeah, I think she. Yeah. I think Dave.
The News Radio Woman. Why didn't you fucking say? Why would you say the person that's in the movie we're watching? I give you the shorthand for the names. All right, Pilot Pete is one man. News Radio Lady is the checking
News Radio Lady.
Pilot Pete is
Dormer. We got Million Dollar Baby. We got Boston Public Teacher with a bad mustache. Do I need to fucking send you notes beforehand so you can keep up,
Greg?
Yeah, Nick.
I'm fucking tack on with you right now. We're tandem skiing right now, and we're going down that hill perfectly.
Tandem skiing.
I'm the professor, you're the TA, all right? And I need you to keep these kids in line, all right?
Wait, real quick. How does tandem skiing work? Do you each have a ski and you're holding hands, or?
I don't think it's a real thing, truth be told. It came out of my mouth, and I think it's just skiing.
And then half like, all right, listen, Dormer, we're about to have a delicious meal of fish here because everyone in the world likes fish or tricks themselves into thinking they like fish. What I'd like to tell you is I'm about to ruin your entire fucking life. That back home, all these people are coming at us, you know, because of the murder investigation, and I'm gonna flip on everybody. I'm gonna make a deal. And Dormer's like, you're kidding, right? Hap, come on, we've been together for 45 years here, right? You came out of the womb with a gun. You and I went to work. That's how it is. And he's like, listen, I'm gonna keep your name out of it. And Dormer's like, how do you fucking keep my name out of it? You do this, everybody walks free. All right, Ivy, Harley, the Joker, they're all out. Carte blanche, right? If my career goes down this way, all the scumbags in LA, they get let loose again. You know what I mean? Anthony Carboni back on the streets. We can't have this. Sure. And Hap's like, listen, I got to cut a deal. I got a wife. I think I have a kid. I'm not 100% sure.
He does.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I got to look out for myself here. I get immunity. I'll keep your name. And Dormer's like, you're fucking, you can't do
Greg. Greg, but you made a backstory for the pilot. I'm sure you could do it for Hap.
Well, they made implications.
My note is a concrete fact. I don't want to screw it up for you guys. You know what I mean?
What
spices are sitting next to you? What spice do you have riding shotgun right now over there?
Right here?
Yeah.
Crushed red pepper.
Great. Okay. Just
is that for your pizza?
Yeah, you put
that
in your pizza?
Oh, yeah.
At this point, they imply that he's like, you're not going to get in trouble for like messing with a drug dealer, right? So his partner had been stealing, like getting money from drug dealers. Is that what the implication is?
I don't know that. They just said that Dormer only crossed the line once, and it was to plant this evidence,
right.
And it was going to like. And so I think his partner being corrupt would have come back badly on him.
Yeah, it would have unraveled the entire department.
Yeah.
But his partner had been doing other stuff, right?
Yeah. His partner had been like was on the take or something weird or had was a little bit like he was implicated in a lot more things. But yeah. Al Pacino, I think, was like, if you go down this road, i.e. is looking for a reason to burn me down. They're going to use you, flip you on me. It's going to happen. He's like, no, we're not going to do that. And he's like, I'm going to fucking shoot you in the mist, man. Close the mist. Pow, pow, pow.
And I mean, that's it. You know, I mean, it's irrelevant to our current predicament. But this is one of those things of like this movie you watch, like, man, all cops are bastards. Look at, they're all just, what are they? They're standing in the way of justice and truth.
Really? Like, I remember growing up, this made me have, and I didn't fall asleep yet. Just to clarify, I hadn't fallen asleep, so I remember this part of the movie. This made me, like, fucking hate the what is it called? The
Internal Affairs?
Internal Affairs.
Everyone hates IE, man.
Where it's just
everyone
one of those things where it's like, yeah, fuck them. Why are they investigating these guys so hard?
Internet Explorers.
Like, that's not
really hates the Internet Explorers. It's IAD is what they always call it, right? Internal Affairs Department.
I've always heard IA. IA.
IA. IA. Yeah.
IA. Yeah. Internal Affairs.
There's a great movie called Internal Affairs starring Andy Garcia and Richard Gere. Then Richard Gere plays the corrupt cop, and Andy Garcia tries to stick it to him.
Great. So this time though, like a news radio woman comes over and she's like, "What can I get you guys?" And Dormer's like, "I lost my appetite." And he goes upstairs and we get a shot of the clock and I forget what time it is. I think it's midnight. And like, it's all bright in the room. Like, it's fucking bright in here, man. You know what I mean? He can't sleep. This is the start of the movie. Insomnia. You'll see, guys, it'll develop as we go. And so the next morning, Hillary Swank, $1 million baby, she's out there. She picks him up. She takes him down to the cop station. Or maybe they go straight to the school, but it doesn't matter because they go there. And this is the big reveal in the movie, guys. They walk in and who is the boyfriend? It is Avery from Nashville. I would have told you everybody who got their start on Nashville got their start on Nashville, never did anything before, never been in a talkie before. But here we are. It's Avery himself, who had one of the best redemptions in Nashville throughout the seven seasons or whatever, where he started. You remember this, right? Where he started and he totally fucked over Scarlett. Then he went and he had this like pervy, like manager type woman who was like fucking him and then making him produce music he didn't want. And then he burned his masters and they were like, "You will never work in Nashville or the music industry."
I remember that.
For a long time, very he intense. Did it, but then he started up with the exes. But then he was backup like guitar for Juliet Barnes. Then he fell in love with Juliet Barnes. Then they had a kid.
Wait,
then
the show takes place in Nashville?
Correct. And in real life, Hayden Panettiere had a kid and she's like, "I'm kind of doing the postpartum thing. I can't do the show anymore." And they were like, "No big deal. You take as much time as you need." She left. He took care of the kid. Then she came back. It was a big, brouhaha about how they were going to take care of each other. It was a great show, Nashville. You should all watch it. Anyway, they drag his ass in and he's like, "I'm a little kid." And they're like, "You fucking did it. You killed her. Whatever, man." And he's like, "Nah, man." And they're just like, and like, he's getting real animated and Dormer, cool as a cucumber.
This is the dumbest. This scene sucks because I'll tell you what. You're a high school kid. You are not reacting this way in front of cops who think that you may have murdered your ex-girlfriend. Like, there's no way that you are this calm, cool, and like, "You got nothing on me."
You don't understand being white. Things are different for these white boys out there. They don't give a fuck.
Also, really? Because I feel like anybody that young would be terrified and be like, "I didn't fucking do this. Why are you like, there's no possible way that I killed not a chance." I'd be freaking out. I'd be panic attack nonstop.
I think that it being a small town, like, really made it like, he pulls him in a little bit later and he's like, "I'm not one of these guys that grew up with you that know you." And like, previously,
your hard ass shit isn't working with me. I know what you really are.
Yeah. Previously, we had heard him kind of talking with the lady cop, was it Hillary Swank? Yeah. And, she had all the information where she was like, "Oh, he dates this girl, and this is their friend." And I don't think that was research. I think it's a small enough town that everybody knows each other.
I just feel like he needed to, like, he could have at least, in this scene, he might as well have said the line of, like, good luck having that hold up in court, like, he was just missing that one line. Exactly.
Eventually, though, they wash their hands of him, and they're like, "You think you did
move
it?"
Your mic down?
Dormer's like, "No." "Yeah, you're out of focus, Timmy." and he's like, "No, so let's just go back to the police station, eat some donuts, figure this out." So they go back to the police station, and then when they get there, guess what? They found her backpack. It was out by some stupid cabin or whatever. And they're like, "Oh, holy shit." So they open up the thing, and what do they find? A bunch of books. This is important. They have books in there, everybody, because they're all school books.
They got books in Alaska.
They're one book written by a guy, all right? And it's going to be very important, but we don't know that right now. But we kind of page through it and like, all right, cool, that's done. So that's good. That's done. And then, Dormer's big move is, "Hey, fill this back up with just random ass garbage. Go put it back. And then let's get on every radio station, telegraph, wire service, computer terminal and say, 'Hey, we are looking for this backpack.'" Does he put a reward on it? I forget. But we're looking for this backpack so that people know where to go or whatever and find it or whatever. And they're like, and then he's like, "I know this isn't the most by the book play, maybe we shouldn't do it, blah, blah, blah." And they're like, "No, we got to do it, Dormer. You're the man. We love you, Dormer. That's why we brought you up here." And it's the same reason why, like, the chief's like, "Listen," he's big and fat still. And he's like, "Listen, I know the fucking LA people got in your head about shit, but that's not how it is up here. All right. We're just fucking, we are human beings taking care of other human beings and shooting mooses on sight. That's what we do up here. There's less, there's less red tape up here."
Once the moose gets a taste for human flesh, they don't stop.
Thank you, Kevin.
Do you think they ever arrested a killer whale? They were like, "We think the killer whale did it. Let's go get him."
For the name. Yeah, remember? It was,
he's like, "I'm being stereotyped."
Six Flags, right?
Is that what it was?
Yeah, the killer whale killed the dude. I mean, the dude went in there.
Bad idea.
Looking for trouble.
And so they do that, and then they're like, "All right, we're going to plant the bag back where it was, then do a stakeout around the bag. Then when the guy comes to get the bag, we got him. Done. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. We got this one. I get to go back to LA." So they all get in their little groups around this cabin, and sure as shit, here comes some moron in a green jacket. He's going to pick up the bag, you know what I mean? And as he gets there, Dormer is like, give me the megaphone or whatever. And stupid ass little young buck cop who tries to hand him the megaphone. They hit the wink wonk button in it, and the fucking guy like, freaks out on it. And he runs in the cabin. They're like, oh, just fucking go, everybody go. And they all run to the cabin, and they're all like, you know, doing, they're like, oh man, is it in there? They open the door and they go in there, and then a couple planks removed. Dude went through the base of the cabin like a wood chuck. I was like, wait, exactly.
Yep.
Right, I had the picture and I was like, woodpecker, that ain't right, hold on,
like a wood chuck.
He dropped down and he just ran away. So everybody's like, all right, fucking let's go. So they drop down, they're in different teams or whatever, they start running. As soon as they get, you know, out there, it's like foggy and they're kind of in like a riverbank and like, oh man, what the hell's going on? And then the stupid cop with the stupid megaphone button, he gets shot in the leg by the bad guy. You're like, oh, fuck, there he is in his green jacket. And the cop goes down. And he's like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, just get this son of a bitch. And Dormer's like, you got it, man. And so he runs off. And there's a bunch of camera swirls. And we're like, wait, where are we in the woods anymore? There's some trees. There's a lot of fog over here. I don't understand what's happening. And so then the guy appears in front of Dormer. And Dormer's like, it's the guy because of the green jacket. And he shoots. And then that guy drops. And then he runs over there. And guess what? It wasn't the dude. It wasn't the bad guy. Even though there's a revolver dropped right next to him. Very interesting. Dormer picks that up. It's Hap. Hap's been shot. And so Dormer gets down. He tries to put pressure on the wound or whatever for Hap. And Hap ain't buying it immediately. He's like, did you do this on purpose? Like, he's more like, you know, but he's like, did you do this on purpose? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you want to get rid of me? And Dormer's like, no, man, listen, yeah, we're out here fucking hunting some weirdo. I think it's Robin Williams. And they're like, no, it's like, yeah, what are we going to do? And then like Hap just fucking dies. And then Dormer goes, man down. We got a man down over here. And so like they all come over. Oh, my God.
Like right off the bat, obviously, you can't have this movie without this being. Without this happening, this is the whole crux of the damn issue that Al Pacino deals with for the rest of the movie.
Yeah,
but don't you just go like, look, man, I fucked up. Like, it was foggy out here. I thought he was the bad guy. Like, you know, you'll probably get taken off the case, but
yeah, but I think the
thing you're telling the truth, you know.
Yeah, but with the he already doesn't trust IA. He already has them breathing down his neck about this other framing, and let alone I assume the other frame job that he did, and on top of that. Just in general, his department being rotten. I feel like his concern is that if he says this, he's for sure done. And then it's what we just talked about at dinner, where the whole thing unravels, where they look into every one of his cases. And I don't think he was on the up and up for most or a lot of his cases.
The whole point of the movie also is that one bad decision like throws you off course for the rest of your life, and you keep having to chase that, which is why like we needed to see that for the very very end shot where she's about to throw a bullet away, and he stays her hand, and he's like, "Don't go down that road." Like
I'm just thinking logically. When this happened, I didn't think this would be what the movie was about.
Like, no, Andy, if I shot you, I'd be like, I shot him. And people would be like, I get it.
And then they'd be like, was it foggy? It'd be like, nah.
Super foggy.
Was it foggy? And I said,
first question, was it foggy?
We were at a Wendy's. We were in the parking lot of a Wendy's.
Yeah, I mean, what, it made a lot in the movie too, right? It's the small things. Or he says it's the small things. So I think they want it to be. And granted, taking a life isn't a small thing, but I think it is like that tiny little decision that then once you're on that track, he feels fucked and he can't get off of.
Yeah.
Which is interesting and leads to places.
Andy and Kevin, why is Al Pacino's name what it is?
Al?
Well, in the movie.
Dormer. Because he's related to Natalie Dormer.
Sleep?
Dormer. Dormir?
Yeah. It's closer to the French, right?
The fact I read said Spanish.
Yeah.
So his name's close to sleep in Spanish. So
cool.
It's
fun stuff for you. That's cool. That's cool.
He was Mimis. So tired
been,
by the end.
Kevin, it should have been Mimis. Have you ever heard Mimis?
That's a great cafe. I used to go with my parents.
Really? Oh, wow. That's okay. Mimis? I guess it's such a.
So what your parents
like
say to you?
It's a Mexican American thing. Like every kid, like, time for Mimis. Like, you know, like dormir Mimis, you know? Yeah.
My grandma used to call pooping your pants kiki. She said, you got to make a kiki.
Okay, so not pooping your pants, just pooping.
Well, I used to poop, like I was
Did you poop your pants a lot?
I was worried about it. I was always worried about pooping my pants, as Greg always was.
But
Greg,
not to the extent where Greg was. He had a bucket, right?
In the 80s, there's three things that are super scary in the 80s, guys. Of course, quicksand, lasers, and pooping your pants in public. You just never knew when any of those things were going to pop up. They were terrifying.
So she swapped one vowel for the other, like kaka and kiki?
Kiki. She's like, you going to make a kiki? Nikki, you got to make a kiki? And I'm like, Grandma, I'm going to go make a kiki. And then she had all these weird, like, my grandmother was really into, like, the tissue holders that were mirrored, but like the crack mirrors, you know, those things like where you take a bunch of mirrors and it makes it. So everything was reflective. So no matter where I looked, I could always see a little bit of myself taking a kiki.
Here's my question. And this is one I don't expect us to have an answer for, but I'd love you to tweet at me, ladies and gentlemen, with as little context as you can. If you are raised in a country that uses the bidet, do children use the bidet? At what point does a kid?
Why would the children not use the bidet? That's like,
because they're dumb kids. They want to make kikis.
Now, here's my question. You know, when little kids are learning to use the potty, they have a little fake potty that they go in?
Squad bag. Yeah.
Sure. Do they have a little kid's bidet that they learn in?
You originally...
No. I'm saying the kids learn with the bidet. These kids aren't wasting their time wiping their ass. They figured out a system that works better for the whole continent, you know?
Nick's grandma said, Nikki, you got a kiki? And Nick goes... Grandma, I got a kiki.
But Tim, I picture him 17 years old.
Like weird
Andy, I did too with the stupid ponytail and his little major bat, you know.
Okay. It's beautiful, Nick. Nick tries to share a beautiful story when he was a child and a beautiful memory of his grandmother.
I was just telling you what I pictured when you said it. Yeah. That's all.
Yeah. What's sad is I actually pictured myself 17 wearing a hoodie with the with the ponytail, but I was like, no, that can't have been right. I must have been. My grandma died when I was in like, no, that could have been. Yeah. I also used to like to take my time. Do you guys ever like take your time when you're in the bathroom? You just stay in there for like an hour.
Hang out. It's people like, what's less than 3 minutes or something's really wrong.
That's the weird thing to think about too, right? Is like we didn't have phones back then.
No.
You would go in there and be there forever. What the fuck are you doing?
It's air conditioned.
Get distracted. It was air conditioned, Nick. We had a very similar childhood. Because that vent would hit you. You're just sitting there. Getting hit by that vent on a hot summer day.
Mom's been on my back all day about that fucking paper I got to write. I just want to chill in here. Totally. She's not going to ask any questions. And then inevitably, 25 minutes in, you'd get this. What are you doing in there? Any business. Kiki. Exactly. Making a kiki.
So they all run over and they're like, oh my God, what happened? He's like, the bad guy shot him and he ran that way. He's like, oh fuck. All right, great. Thanks, Dorma. And then, he's dead. And so then we're back to the police station. Everybody there's, and he's doubling down. Like, I got shot and then ran off this way and blah, blah, blah. And then he has to call the widow. And I think, the kid answers. And then he talks to the widow. And she's like, just promise me this. You don't arrest him. You fucking kill him. Bring him. You son of a bitch. And he's like, wow, I got it. Wow. So then he leaves and he walks home and he pukes in an alleyway and he sees a dead dog, is what you guys said. Because on my screen, it was just a sea of black and an eyeball. And I'm like, that's a dead something. I don't know what. I'm watching this HBO Max version of this. I don't know what I'm seeing. But cool enough. Then he goes back to his hotel. The woman there, news radio woman, she already knew about it because it's a small town. She's like, he was right here the other day. And he's like, wow. And then she's like, well, the phone rings and it's for you. And it's the guy. And he's the guy from IA. And he's like, I'll take it. And he's basically, and the guy's like, oh man, it sucks your partner got killed. He was going to tell me a lot of information, huh? That's pretty convenient. He's like, don't fucking talk to me. Wow. You did this. Wah, wah. You don't know what it's like. You are a pencil pusher. You sit behind a desk. You know what I mean? He doesn't understand what's fucking going on.
Fucking IA.
Slams the fucking phone down. You're a fake cop. You're not a real cop. And so he does that and he goes upstairs and he can't sleep because of the insomnia. And of course he murdered his friend and now he's lying about it. Which is a pretty big problem all around. But
it was an accident though, right? Friendly fire happens all the time.
I agree that it was an accident, but then he does the lie and he's committed now. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean,
he saw an
easy out, right? Like right now, if you accidentally kill Nick, you're lying about it, right?
You know me. I'm too pure.
Help you find the body. Hide the body.
Find the body.
Found it. I don't think it was lost. It's been right here the whole time.
Thanks, Kev.
Kevin just looks at me like, I'm out of ideas. This is all I do.
This is all I bring to the table. I can sniff a body out like no one's business.
Tired, of course. And we get basically that. Guess what? It's pretty much the perfect crime. The stupid guy who hit the megaphone button, he's racked with guilt by hitting the megaphone button and also didn't see shit. He doesn't know what the fuck's going on. We get $1 million baby. She's out there trying to reconstruct the crime and nobody's really taking it seriously, right? Because she's the only one who wants to be an actual cop. Everybody else just likes the badge and the outfit. So they're like, I don't want to lay down. Oh, I don't want to do this. Blah, blah, blah.
And she's putting together. She's like, then he says it ran this way. I'm like, oh, and it's totally clear now, which sucks. And so they're like looking for stuff, and they can't find the bullet, the other bullet on the over there. Like, oh, that sucks. And he's like, this is great for me. And then he goes to investigate to see Hap's body, right, and get the evidence. And the coroner's like, oh man, you came yourself, no big deal. Here's the fucking bullet. And he's like, thanks. Hoo-ah. And he takes it, and he's like, I'll take it from you. Hoo-ah. And then what he does is he waits till nighttime, or it is nighttime, I forget. And he takes the gun that he still has from the killer, goes down the same alley he puked in, goes back to the dead dog / maybe dead moose, shoots that thing, then pulls out the bullet, then goes home, cleans it, puts it back in the evidence thing, drops it off. Guess what? The bullet that killed Hap is now the same bullet from the same gun that shot the other guy in the leg. And so it's like, you know, this sucked. I hate that it had to happen this way, but hey, we're getting out of this thing scot-free. I can accept this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Dormer. And so he's like, no harm, no foul. I'm going to lay down. And lays down. He's like, I'm finally going to get some sleep. Yeah.
I just want to say, if any of you guys accidentally kill me while trying to hunt down a killer, and you can make it look like the killer did it, go for it. You know what I mean? Make it harder for the killer. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate that. You, Kev.
Yeah.
That's really good of you. Also, I'll just say this, Kevin. If we're in Alaska and I accidentally killed you, I would eat you. Is that okay?
Nick, that's really heartwarming.
I would want you to be a part
of it. You wouldn't need to do that because you have so many options to eat. Options like our sponsor, HelloFresh. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouthwatering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door with HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. In Alaska, last I heard, in America. HelloFresh lets you skip those trips to the grocery store and makes home cooking easy and affordable. HelloFresh offers so many recipes to choose from each week to help you break out of your recipe rut. Here's the deal. Here at Kinda Funny, we've been talking a lot about burgers. It's been Burger City, and I've been wanting a burger real bad. And recently, Gia made some burgers, thanks to HelloFresh, and it was fantastic. HelloFresh's pre-portioned ingredients mean there's less prep for you and less food waste. The packaging HelloFresh uses to ship your food is almost entirely made from recyclable and or already recycled content. Feeding the whole family's never been easier with larger box sizes for more servings and more savings. You got a ton of options here. It's really clear. The website's really simple to use to get exactly what you're trying to get. It's America's number one meal kit. Why wouldn't you try it? You know, you can go to HelloFresh.com/80morning and use code 80morning to get a total of $80 off. That's why it's in the promo code, including free shipping on your first box. Additional restrictions apply. Please visit HelloFresh.com for more details. Again, that is HelloFresh.com/80morning to get that sweet, sweet deal. Next up, I want to talk about MeUndies. Have you ever seriously considered the underwear that graces your nether regions? You've got some important stuff down there, you know that you should be like checking out what's going on. Right now I'm wearing some. I got some sweet pineapples on them. They're a little shiny. Every once in a while I like to shine. Kev, you got some going on?
I just ordered a 10 pack and I just got the socks. They're very good. Comfortable.
Good. Greg, you feeling good? You have that micromodal on?
Yeah, I got the camo on.
I got my new 3 pack in finally.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yeah. Of course, I'm wearing the shirt. I'm wearing the lounge pants. You can't see them, but I'm not going to stand up. Just trust me. I also have the
keep
socks
in mind, everybody, that of the 10 MeUndies packs that I own, or MeUndies pairs that I own, I've bought 8 of them. Keep that in mind, everybody.
Keep that in mind. They're fantastic. MeUndies has a great offer for you guys right now. Any first-time purchasers, you can get 15% off and free shipping. This is a no-brainer, especially because they have 100% satisfaction guarantee. To get your 15% off your first order, go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning for 15% off your first order. Do it. MeUndies.com/morning. And finally, shout out to ExpressVPN. Here's the thing. Nick, you don't need to tell me what it was, but when was the last time you searched for something online that you wouldn't want others knowing about?
This morning, probably.
Yeah, probably. You should probably be using ExpressVPN, man. Your internet service provider can see every single thing that you're searching for, even if you're in incognito mode. That's why you should be checking out ExpressVPN and using it. It doesn't matter if you get your internet from Verizon or Comcast or Sonic or anywhere. ISPs in the U.S. can legally sell your information to ad companies. That's real bad. ExpressVPN is an app that reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers so your ISP can't see the sites that you visit. ExpressVPN also keeps all your information secure by encrypting 100% of your data with the most powerful encryption available. ExpressVPN is available on all your devices, your phones, your smart TVs, your computers, everything. Protect your online activity today with the VPN rated number one by CNET and Wired. Visit the link at expressvpn.com/morning. You can get 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/morning, expressvpn.com/morning to learn more and to get an extra 3 months free on a 1 year package. Whew, back to the plot.
So he's like, I got away with it. I nailed it. I can finally get some sleep. And he lays down and he starts to drift off and the phone rings. And he answers it. Who is it? The genie from Aladdin, Robin Williams himself.
Your three wishes.
Mm-hmm. The three wishes. Don't fuck me is wish number three. And
don't fuck me.
It turns out. Remember that? That was a great game.
You missed the word there, though.
Yeah, I think it was me. Don't fuck with me.
I mean, either way, don't fuck me.
I guess, yeah, it's true. Don't fuck me on this.
Don't fuck me over on this. Yeah,
yeah, but like, I don't know. Don't fuck me kind of like.
I guess with no context. It sounds way sexual. The three wishes. Yes. Yeah. It was don't fuck with me.
Like,
don't
fuck me. Was he trying to fuck you?
I understand. Again, see, if you missed this old Game Over Greggy show, remember, it's that genies always have some kind of fucking caveat on this. Yep. So you always use your third wish of don't fuck me over.
Always.
Don't fuck with me.
Don't fuck.
Okay? Everybody happy now? The words are there? All right. So anyways, it's Robin Williams. Guess what? He's the killer. He saw everything happen. He admits that he knows everything here. He's like, listen, Dormer, I saw it all, and I'll keep your secret. You keep my secret. Keep stop looking for me. It won't be a big deal. No big deal. No harm, no foul. But, you know, did you kill Hap because of the investigation? You know, whatever. And Dormer's like playing defense for a while here. And then eventually they hang up. He's like, fuck, it's not the perfect crime. Somebody fucking knows, and I need to get to him and stop him. So Robin now.
So good.
Robin Williams.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He can be. So good terrifying. As a
creepy actor.
Yep.
Yeah.
He did some movie, 1 Hour Photo.
Yeah. Same year.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Really? Wow. His villain.
Same year, 2002. Both the dramatic Robin Williams movies came out.
Terrifying. Wow. Terrifying in it. And he so does it in this too.
And so, Dormer's like, fuck, somebody else knows, somebody else I have to take care of, and I can't do this through official police channel for the most part. And so what he does now is go to the funeral. Because it's the funeral now for the woman who was murdered, Kay Connell. Kay. Time to go to her funeral. He goes there. Guess what? Avery from Nashville's there with the best friend, very cuddly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Clearly, there's something going on there. And Dorm was like, ooh, I'll get to the bottom of this. Ooh, and so, you know, Hilary Swank tries to talk to him for a little bit. And he's like, whatever. And then he fucks off. And then he goes over there while Avery's getting on his motorcycle with the best friend. And he's like, why don't I give a ride on my ooh? And he's like, why would she want to go with you? And she's immediately like, I'll go with you. And so they get in the car. And
very weird.
Well, she's, you know.
They just want to leave that town, Andy.
I think they all just want to get out of that town, Andy, by any way possible. Means necessary, yeah. Yeah. She gets in there. She starts getting all flirty. And she's pulling up her skirt on the side and stuff like this. And Dormer ain't having it, right? He's trying to get information here about this. Like, you know, what's going on? You know, clearly that's her boyfriend. But she's all over there he's over there grabbing on you. He's like, why don't we play a game? Oh, and he goes like he's going to go chicken with the semi truck. And the last second, they get out of that. And then they pull over to a garbage dump. And she's like, why are you doing this? Mine? He's like, I know everything. This is why they found her in a pile of garbage. And, you know, you're at the funeral and he's grabbing your ass. And this is happening. Clearly a torn up photo like that was it was all about this. And she's like, well, she had a secret, too. She was seeing this guy. And he's like, who's the guy? And she's like, I don't fucking know. She'd never tell me her name. He was going to get her out of this town, as we were just saying. She was going to get me. You know, it was going to be her escape plan. It was her secret. Yada, yada, yada. And so he's like, but you talked to her about it. What did she call him? And she called him Brody. Brody is the name that it was. And he's like, okay, cool. Brody, thank you. That's enough to go on. And so, you know, he gets rid of her or whatever. And then he looks at the book, and the book says the guy's name, right? And it's like, I forget name. The
AJ. Yeah,
I knew the author. I knew him. Yes, the author's name is on the book. Yes. Let me look at IMDb. Robin Williams is Walter Finch, and it says like on his cover jacket or whatever, he goes by Brody or some shit like that. And he's like, oh, fuck, it's Brody. Ma. And so he's like, it's got the same town he lives in or whatever. And it's also in Alaska. So Al Pacino drives over there and he gets a phone book and he looks up Walter Finch's address and he gets that and he goes to the fucking house and he knocks on the door and there's just dogs barking, but no people. So he jimmies lock, comes in, a little piece of paper falls out. A great move, so you know if somebody's been in your house, right? And so he puts it on the piano rather than put it right back like an idiot and shuts the door. And then he starts snooping all over the house, looking around for stuff. He finds the other books. He finds the author photo. He takes that. He puts in his pocket. And as he's investigating the whole place here, right, he finds the gun here? He brought the gun. He brought the gun, and he plants it in the vent, right?
No, he doesn't do that till afterwards.
Okay. Oh, right. He sees him first, chases him.
So anyways, while he's there, he hears the lock or key in the door or whatever. And then we get the shot of Ron Williams realizing something's up. So he runs. Dormer chases him. They have a little chase scene here. Eventually, they run down to the water where there's a logging operation in action. It's Alaska, of course. Robin Williams, having lived in Alaska far longer than Dormer, is able to just run perfectly across these logs, just in a very awesome, amazing
sense. Do you think he did this often, the running on the logs?
It seemed like it, Kevin. It seemed like it.
Because he was going fast.
I think, here's my theory on this, if I may. First off, is not the first time I've seen this. I think this was featured in a movie called Stakeout with Emilio Estevez and Richard Dreyfuss. And it was terrifying back then, because if you fall under, you can't move the log, so you're just screwed. Similar to if you fall into a pool cover, you were just fucked when you were a kid. Those are things 4 and 5 to be scared of in the 80s, guys. 4 and 5.
What are number one and two?
Number one, lasers, of course. Quicksand.
Don't mention three.
The pool, and three was, what was three, Kevin? Eating Kevin
pooping.
Alive?
Pooping.
Kiki. Yeah, Kiki. Yeah.
Robin Williams gets across like he's playing expert mode Frogger. Al Pacino from LA, a fish out of water, tries to do it, and he just goes bloop right underneath it, just gone. You know what I mean? And he's underneath there. He's like
Robin Williams is wearing the boots. He's wearing the hiking boots. You know what I mean, Greg? And of course, Al Pacino has the nice loafer, which doesn't have, it's too smooth.
No traction. Yeah.
And so he's underneath the logs, banging on the logs, trying to get his face up from the logs, and he can't do it. And it looks like he might drown. But then the last second, he's able to get up. He gets out, and he looks over, and Robin Williams is just fucking toast, man. He's so far gone. There's no way he could possibly catch him. And he's like, "Oh, you got me this time." And so Robin Williams takes off, and Dormer goes back to Robin Williams' apartment, goes in there, and starts drying himself off. And I initially was like, "Why is this happening?" And then Robin Williams calls and talks on his own answering machine, trying to encourage him to answer, and is like, "Oh, you must be freezing the water." I'm like, "All right, Alaska. That makes perfect sense." And so, yeah, he's like, "I got clean towels in there. Take a shower. I'm clearly not coming back," or whatever. So, blah, blah, blah. However, I'm going to be on this ferry tomorrow. You should be there too. We should talk this out in a public place. Like, obviously, don't pull any shit. And I'll see you soon. All right, Dormer, bye. And this is, when Al Pacino hides the gun, setting up this whole thing. He's like, "I got you, motherfucker. I'm going to hide the gun here. And they'll come get you, and it'll all be fine. And there you go." So then from there, I think this is when
you can feed my dogs at the police station. Fuck you, bro.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, exactly.
I bet you he fed them, though.
Yeah,
those dogs didn't do anything wrong. They don't know that, they have a murderer as a dad.
I don't know.
Much like Portillo. I think this is in the next day, because he can't sleep again, obviously. I think in the next day, this is when we're at the police station. Hillary Swank's like, "Hey, here's my report, by the way. You just need to sign it, and this whole thing's closed, and we don't have to worry about it anymore, and I can come back to helping you on the real case if I want to." And he goes to sign it. He's also kind of woozy and insomniac. And he's like, he goes to sign it, and then she says something just making it seem meaningless, and he's like, "You know what? Double check this again. Like, this is a man's life." You know what I mean? He kind of goes back to the cop. I think he wants to be, but obviously this is actually against his own interest, but he encourages her to look into it more, which was a stupid thing to do. And she's like, "Oh, okay, fine. I want to, I didn't mean to trivialize."
But I mean, he's a good cop. He can't fight those urges,
I mean, this one case, he should, because he already fought the urge to tell the truth, and it kind of fucked up everything. So having her look any deeper into
it. I think that was the point here, where he has a moment where he's like, "I know if I'm going to give her one more shot at finding the truth, and if she doesn't, whatever." But I think that was him sort of like wanting to be caught.
You think so?
Yeah, I read that as like him being like, "I could sign this, but if I do, it's pretty much over." But if like, I just kind of read it as he felt like he was mentoring her and like didn't want her to be complicit in something. So he was like, "I read it like a moment of conflict for me."
I think I read the mentorship part of it. I didn't read it as he wanted to get caught as much as he was still trying to teach a lesson of like, no, everything matters. Don't just brush this off.
Maybe I don't know. I just felt like low key on some level he was like, "She'll figure it out, and then I'll get caught, and this will end." But maybe I'm reading too much into it. Who knows?
So from there, then it's like, okay, cool. She's gonna do that, and then he's like, "I got a ferry to catch. See you guys later." He goes to the ferry and gets in, and Robin Williams is at the end of it, and he walks over there, and they have a long conversation around the ferry about everything that's happening, and how he's like, "Listen, you didn't mean to kill Hap. I didn't mean to kill K. I didn't mean to kill K, right? It just happened. These things happened. It was an accident. You had an accident. I had an accident. We can work together on this and get out of this, right? Let's just plant it all on the boyfriend." And he's like, "Oh, man, I don't know." And he's like, "No, the boyfriend sucks. Like, the boyfriend's abusive, and this is a long time coming, and he probably would have killed her eventually anyway. He would have crossed the line. He already was abusive. What do we care if we fuck this guy's life over, right?"
I kept waiting for Dormer to have a sort of character turn here. Because he keeps on sort of entertaining this idea with Robin Williams, and he keeps on kind of listening, like, "Yeah, okay, we can do that. Yeah, that sounds good. And I expected him to be like, "But what you're misunderstanding, Robin, is I'm not a fucking scum." Like, I expected some sort of character turn.
Sure.
But the whole time he's just there, like, "Yeah, we should do
this.
We're
equals." Yeah.
But he was manipulating him. He was trying to set him up so that he'd be comfortable to get more information, as much information as possible.
to find out where the body was also, right?
No, they knew the body, but where the evidence was.
Yeah.
Turns out. Gotcha. Well, the,
I just waited for that character turn, and we never got it. And then Robin Williams is eventually like, hey, I got you recorded, bro. Wild card. But in this as well,
he was like playing along with him, but he had already planted the gun in his apartment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think the whole thing was he was like, I'm gonna placate him for a while until I can figure out how to get the cops over to his place because he wanted
wanted him to come like turn himself in to get like interviewed, and he was like, oh, and don't mention the boyfriend. Like that's gonna look too obvious.
Right. It was a tactical error on Al Pacino's part. Al Pacino should have just arrested him and been like, this dude just confessed to killing her. And then he could have been like, well, I didn't do that. Because there's no evidence that Al Pacino had anything to do with it, right? I'd be like, this guy did it, clearly. And then let's go over to his house and look for the gun. And it's just there. And boom, bada bing, bada boom. But at this point, you feel like Robin Williams had already taken the gun and disposed of it. Yep. I figured something else had to do with it.
Yeah, I feel like he could have killed him on the boat here.
Well, this is the other thing with Al Pacino that I'm just like, this character. There are moments of this where I'm like, these are a little bit too big a leaps in logic. Like when he walks at him the first time and the guy literally Al Pacino's got his gun trained on the guy and the guy shoots the cop next to him and Al Pacino's like, hoo-ah! And instead of unloading a clip into this fucking figure that's 20 feet away from him, then there's the chase scene where Al Pacino could shoot him 3 times. I'm like, just shoot the fucker. Figure it out.
He's jumping across logs.
And then guy's fucking out in the open jumping across a log. And instead you put your gun away and you're like, I've never done this before, but I'll just do human fucking Frogger right now. What the hell's going to happen?
I also thought he should shoot him.
I did too. But I mean, I understand the reasoning of like, why am I shooting this guy? Why am I here? What, like the progression because of the bad cop shit that led you here?
But I would have been like, this guy's a murder suspect. We thought it was him. I would have been like, I saw the book. I went to question him. He ran. I shot him in the fucking leg and he drowned. Oops.
Yeah, but I mean, eventually it's going to – I hear you and I agree with you, and this is us, you know, because we're fucking citizens arresting people left and right. You know what I mean? That's why we call ourselves Los Vigilantes. But here he is. He already got the name Brody from the woman by almost killing her by putting her into this truck. Then he took her to the garbage dump where he was, like, threatening her and screaming at her and shit like that. Like,
yeah, no,
there's been a lot of bad cop work done here, and he's already on the line for his career going down for bad cop work. Like, I hear you. I get you. This is why we need a Batman.
This is where you draw the line. You planted evidence on someone. You've put people's lives in danger. And you know this guy is the killer because he's already told you as much. Yeah. And you're not going to shoot this guy in the fucking butt. Just shoot him in the butt.
He's going to still talk. You got to go for the head on this one. Anyways.
What's he going to say?
As you said, Andy, he tape recorded the whole conversation. So now Dormer is incriminated. This is the whole thing.
Wild card.
Hillary's still going through trying to do the stuff. She finds the newspaper here that has the article in it still of like, oh man, the whole fucking operation's under investigation. And so he can't sleep. And I think he gets another call from Robin Williams and he's like, I think I am going to bring up the boyfriend. And he's like, do not bring up the boyfriend. Ooh-ah. And like some other shit about this whole fucking crime we've been talking about. Robin Williams is brought in for questioning because of the books, right? Hillary found the books and was like, oh, one of them was personally inscribed. So it's like, oh shit, okay, fuck. So they bring him in and he's like, oh yeah, you know, all the cops are being nice to him except Dormer, who's being a dick. And he's like, you know, things escalating. And then Robin Williams is like, oh yeah, it's her boyfriend probably. He was very abusive. She talked about that all the time. He also mentioned this gun, you know what I mean? This horrible gun that he would like, that he had, and that he would hide in like the fucking vents. And he says it in a very peculiar way and like looks at Dormer, and Dormer's like, fuck, he knows. He found the fucking thing.
Yeah.
He's got a camera in that house or something. And so then Dormer gets agitated because he's got to get out of, he's got to get him out of himself out of this room, right? And then try to save the boyfriend who's about to have this whole thing pinned on him. And so he's like, he gets in his face like, what, you fucker? You're trying to have sex with her? Blah, 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 blah. And he's like, get the hell out of here. And then the Boston Public guy's like, you're losing your cool, Dormer. Get out of here. And so Dormer leaves. And then he rushes over to Avery's place. And then the cops call Judge whoever the fuck, Judge Reinhold. And they're like, this, hey, we need
ants.
Yeah, we need
Judge Reinhold.
We need a fucking search warrant for this. We'll get him on the phone. And so he's out riding a moose. And so like Dormer runs to Avery's house and he gets in there and he's looking all around for the gun, trying to find stuff. The cops finally get their thing. They rush over there too. Two planes action. Everybody's running all over these places trying to figure this stuff out. Also, I think it got mentioned here that he had letters from Kay. This is Robin Williams had letters from Kay that talked about this kind of stuff and that would prove that Avery's a bad guy too. And so
Dormer's there. He can't find the gun. Then the cops get there. They start their search, and he's like, fuck. He runs and hides in the bathroom, and he shuts the door. And, like, a cop's just about to open that door. It's, you know, it's going to be jigs up on this one. And one guy's like, I found it. And like, oh, fuck. And they go over there, and, like, in a vat of motor oil was the gun. He's got, like, on a thing. And Dormer then comes out and then kind of slithers back in like he just got there. Like, we got him, Dormer. Fucking job well done. Like, yeah, we're cops. And so at the same time, Avery comes home and he's like, what the fuck's going on? I'm like, you're fucked, Junior. Get on the ground. You know what I mean? And Avery's like, no. And so they drag his ass off to that thing. And then
he's looking at Pacino like, you know.
Ooh, you know something. You're not telling me what the fuck it is. Wow. And so they're like, that's job well done on that. He's done. I'm going to put it here.
Do it.
I'm not 100% sure about it. Him and Robin Williams meet up, and he gets the tape from Robin Williams and trashes it and throws it away. And then Robin Williams, I think, confesses the entire thing of how he killed her and how he just punched her and couldn't stop punching her. And then he's like, that's not an accident. You beat her for 10 minutes. You're an idiot. You're a psycho.
That was a horrible, like, that's one of the things where, like, Robin Williams did such a good job conveying the fact that he was, like, a crazy person that will for sure do this again, you know?
Oh, yeah. And that's, of course, Dormer's problem here, right, is that he knows this isn't a one-time thing. He had already said, too, right, like, I see pieces of shit like you all the time. You're not special to me. Like, I know who you are. I can see through it. Like, I know you're, you know.
You're my job, but this is
Yeah, exactly.
Greg, what was that impression that you and Nick used to do from a character from The Flash?
You're going to tell me this guy over here is the Arrow.
Yeah.
Oh, the Arrow. Yeah.
Yeah. It was Detective Lance.
It reminded me of that.
It looks like you're doing the dog from
Laurel
Saving Silverman, the little dog kid.
You know, you got me there in the end.
The
blonde girl works. Her whole family's the circus people.
So yeah, he does this. Him and Robin Williams have it out. Robin Williams is like, and you know what really sucks is that tape's the only thing that could prove anything that actually you're saying right now. So like, you just threw that away and ruined that chance. And he gets like thrown around a bit, but he eventually knocks him down. They get knocked down. I don't know. But then he's like, fuck it, it's over. And they all leave. They break off in their different camps. Hillary Swank, meanwhile, had found a bullet casing on her last walkabout. She found a bullet casing. It was 9mm, which is not.
How did nobody see that?
Fog.
If you're Al Pacino, wouldn't you be like, I gotta go find that fucking bullet casing? Like, I knew exactly where I was shooting from, and I know that a bullet casing can only fly roughly about 6-7 feet away from the gun when it pops out. I would be searching that religiously. Plus, always light outside, so it's never like dark.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to find this fucking thing. I would
You got to make it a point to go find this bullet casing before the whole search party of like 30 people are looking. Like, how did none of them see that?
It's rocks, man.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Really,
sometimes the best camouflage is standing there.
Exactly. And also, you don't understand, Andy, is that bullet shells look exactly like rocks.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
Except nothing like them.
Anyways, she had found this. She'd pieced together. Solid joke, she was Nick. Already getting questioned about it. She knows. She knows, right? That like this isn't adding up anymore. Something smells fishy here. Something smells like bad halibut. Anyways, though. Dormer and Robin Williams are done. Dormer is going to leave the next morning. Dormer goes out drinking with the Boston Public guy and the other cops or whatever. And eventually she shows up, $1 million baby, and she has some questions. And they're like, oh, you have fucking Nancy Drew's here. And then she eventually hugs him goodbye and grabs his Al Pacino's backup weapon that she had written about in her thing. And it is a 9mm, and it is there. And she knows. She fucking knows.
Man, she gives that thing a fucking squeeze, too.
Yeah, it's totally a little gone. Ropey.
Got to drive it home for us, the audience.
I was like, we get it.
And so she's like, what am I going to fucking do about this? Do I let him go? And she's like, I'm probably just going to let him go. I should look into this thing with the Robin Williams. And so it's like, I'm going to go get these fucking letters from Robin Williams, right? And so she's like, I'm going to go get these letters from fucking Robin Williams. And he's like, yeah, I think they're at my cabin. Come to my cabin. She's like, no problem. I'll come to the cabin. And then Al Pacino's like, I'm going to go back to Robin Williams' place for something. I forget what he goes back for.
I assume murder Al Pacino. Oh, yeah, probably find his dress.
Yeah, you're right. Al Pacino goes back there to fuck him up, doesn't he?
Murder Robin Williams.
Yeah, you're right. He is like, I can't let this stand. I got to fucking end this. So he goes back there, breaks in. Robin Williams is not there.
while he's searching around, he finds the actual letters from what's her face that aren't in the cabin. Like he said, they weren't. He also finds the book and he looks at the book jacket that has the author photo that also has the information on his cabin at, well, you know, Lake whatever the fuck it is. And he pieces it together. He calls there to the station. Hillary Swank, Million Dollar Baby. She's already out on the prowl. She's out there trying to get these letters. She's going to go meet with Robin Williams.
Miller, yeah. One question here. Just a. He said he had a cabin, right? When we assume that's the cabin they were in, but that wasn't, right? He probably killed her in much nicer cabin, and then took. Well.
The cabin
were
where
they
the
just
book...
hanging out in that shitty cabin?
Yeah, the cabin where the book bag was isn't his cabin, at least not by any kind of legal tender. I was with you on that too. I'm like, wait, I guess that makes sense that you go dump the bag somewhere you know, wouldn't be anyway. So yeah, now he's at the nice cabin. Hillary Swank shows up at the nice cabin and she's all like, she walks in. Yeah. She's like, oh, you got the letters and stuff. I also watched Silence of the Lambs very recently. So now those two scenes are starting to merge together of Jodie Foster calling out Buffalo Bill and him calling. I forget how it escalates and she figures it out.
One of them, they get the night vision goggles.
I know.
She sees the dress, I think, right?
She sees the dress in the Ziploc bag.
I don't know, but it's weird because he opens up the drawer and almost like wants to show her so he can like get caught and kill her or something like that. It's very weird.
Sure.
But she sees it and he kind of like purposely lets her see it. And then he just turns around and clocks her.
I feel like Robin Williams is doing such a good job of like, you can tell his character slowly falling in love with the idea of like getting away with it and setting everything up. And like he keeps being like, no, I've written a perfect ending for all this. And it's just like, shit.
Yeah.
Dormer shows up, the dogs start barking. Robin Williams has put Hillary Swank, I think, in the attic, right? Or at least upstairs. He's like, oh, fuck, it's Dormer. And so he gets out. They maybe yells at him here. I don't fucking remember. But Hillary Swank, they start running around the house with guns. And then Hillary Swank wakes up and she comes down. And then she gets wounded, right? Or she's just so groggy? Or she's in the shootout?
She got knocked out, right?
Yeah. She got knocked out, but then she came to.
So what happens is Al Pacino and Robin Williams start fighting for the gun, right? She's slowly coming to. She gunshot. Comes down, hits Robin Williams, and somehow he's able to escape and takes her gun with him.
Okay.
Right?
Wild card.
I just remember the scene of her, he's Robin Williams is shooting from the other, like, ramshackle cab or, like, the house. Barn. And lights.
Deal, hold on.
Exactly. And then he's like, cover me or whatever. And then Al Pacino goes over and approaches, and he busts in. And Robin Williams drops his gun, or they exchange guns, and then Al Pacino shoots him with a shotgun while Robin Williams shoots him with just a pistol.
Yeah, he's like, wild card,
bitches. Robin Williams falls in the water, slowly sinks away. Al Pacino collapses. Hillary Swank runs over, and she's giving like, you know, the last rites over here, and she's like, nobody has to know. And she goes to take out the bullet and throw the bullet that would make, you know, this all go away on the Al Pacino side, and he's like, no, it's a small thing, stops her, and is like, no, you can't do this. Like,
I love that.
I forget what he has, a better line that I'm fucking up right now.
Yeah, but he's like, don't lose yourself.
Whatever.
I do love that right before that I think it's kind of unrealistic, but I think it's the only time where it could have been shown is where she sort of asks him, did you mean to shoot Hap? You know, you know, and he's like, it was foggy. Maybe I did. I don't know. I'm fucking.
No, I skipped the whole thing where he confesses everything to the news radio woman.
Yeah.
When she goes up there, she's like, it's not even dark. It's not even light in here. And she turns on the lights and
then they fuck. Up, right? It was weird.
They did. No,
they kind of just fall asleep on the bed together, which
because she was fully clothed.
Yeah.
So I don't like.
And it was still weird. You need to take off all your clothes to have sex.
Huh.
And then it's credits. That's Insomnia.
No fate but what you make it. Insomnia.
Andy.
Seven syllables in the middle. You'll need five for the first and last line. If you're not poetic, no need to fret it. Haikus don't need to rhyme. Haiku in review. Haiku. Ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to write your review in haiku form, just like City of Legends did. It's 3 a.m. I can't fucking sleep. Fuck me. Hey, what's this movie? See, Kev?
It's all tied in.
Let's see. We got Joe Mertens. Is it the daylight or the guilt of past misdeeds? JK, it's the guilt. Misdeeds, good word. Good. Shout out to you, Joe Mertz, for the use of misdeeds.
J. Mert.
Andrew Feisner says, "A shot in the fog. The guilty man will not sleep. Williams is the creep." Shout out to Robin Williams, man.
Good actor.
That's it. That's it. Now, let's jump into
Ragu Goo Goo.
Ragu Goo Goo.
Goo goo. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rad Guys Talk the Good Guys, or the protagonists.
Oh, sorry, protagonist.
We, of course, are doing what should be Ragu Poo Poo then. Make a note, please. Change for next week.
Ragu Kiki.
Ragu Kiki.
Of course, we've done two of the Nolan movies, the first of which was It Follows, and the next one was Memento. We put Lenny from Memento number one as a better protagonist, and then, of course, the young man from Following at number two. Where do we want to put
boy?
Well, it was the young boy, but you told me to stop saying the young boy.
Yeah,
you... And also, when I say boy, I just say it.
Stop,
so creepy.
Stop.
Creepy. Yeah.
I feel like Al Pacino's character in this, I think he's better than both of the people that we've seen so far. You know, I think he's number one. He's made mistakes.
Yeah,
I put him below Lenny.
Story, but I think Lenny is a little bit more compelling.
Who's more compelling or who is better?
It's just a cooler. I mean. Kevin, we're not ranking like who is a better
person,
who has a better moral.
I thought this was who is a better person.
No.
Why you would think that?
I don't know.
A more interesting protagonist, I think, is the idea. Yeah.
No, like Lenny's life. I feel like all right. So I still stand for where I put it, but because I feel like Lenny isn't living life. You know, he just exists for the 15, maybe 10 minutes that happen and then he's gone, you know.
But really ripped body, really shredded.
That's not gonna last. That's not gonna last. You know what I mean? Or maybe it will last because he doesn't remember when he ate last, so he's eating very little. Interesting.
I'll put him in number two, just because.
I'll put him in number two as well.
The young man was fine, and Lenny's there. You go.
The new rankings are Lenny number one,
hoo-ah,
and the young boy at number three.
Now it is time to rank the movies. Currently, Christopher Nolan in review stands at number one, Memento. Number two, Following.
This is tough because I think Following is a much more fascinating concept, and it has that cool Nolan twist that we're so accustomed to that I really, really enjoy, and I think it's impressive from a writing standpoint. And this wasn't a Nolan movie, right? It was just, you know, it's just... directed by him, so it's kind of tough to say. I think this is a better movie overall in terms of, you know, acting and overall plot, and it's a more complete movie. But I think Following was just a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, for me personally, I put this at the bottom of the list. I think this is number three. I like the other two before because I think they were memorable and did something different. You know, like I had seen this, as I said, at launch or whatever, years and years and years ago, and it was one of those that I've never thought about again, really. And I was like, oh, when we did this, and I didn't even realize it was a Nolan film, I was like, oh, it'll be interesting to watch this as an adult and see if it was just that I was a kid and, or, you know, I didn't care. And watching it again, I'm just like, oh no, it's just like, it's a movie, and it plays with some interesting themes, and I think it's got some good performances, but it's not, I think, you know, 6 months from, I don't think I'm going to think about this movie again once this is over, where I do think Memento and Following, I think, did different things and had twists and turns and motivations that I think were really cool, even if it wasn't as well acted if we're talking about Following.
See, for me, it's the opposite, where I think Memento is still number one, but I think this is just the team of Nolan and his cinematographer really, really knocking out of the park, making a very, very compelling pro looking movie. And just, it's cool to see sort of how they've progressed. And I think that when I think about, do I want to watch these films again? Watching Insomnia again, I was kind of dreading. And then halfway through, I'm like, I'm really enjoying this. I'm getting more out of it the first time. I don't know that I ever want to watch Following again. I just think it was a little bit, I appreciate what it was, but it was kind of pulling teeth to get through that sort of indie quasi film school style movie. Whereas I just feel like this is him doing a great job directing, you know, veteran actors like Al Pacino and Hilary Swank and Robin Williams at this point, and just like putting together a start to complete murder mystery that's less about thriller and more about a little more in-depth like character study. And I give this a lot more credit this time around than I did originally. So I would say this is number two on my list.
I feel like this movie caught me off guard. I mean, obviously I've seen it before, but I feel like the fact that the story isn't about the killing and just finding this killer, like that it pivots and it does become about like him having to hide the murder and how that weighs on him. Like, I think that aspect's really cool. I do think that following that story was more interesting. I don't think I'll ever watch either of these movies again, and I think that the following to me, that reveal, that big moment, brings this that a little higher than this. So yeah, I'd put this as third.
Yeah, I would also put it as third, mainly because I feel like both Following and Memento kind of had unique things about them and really executed all those things very well, where I was impressed with every twist and turn that they did, where I was like, oh, this is a cool use of this. With this, I thought the themes were really cool, and I thought that the use of the light and the use of the actual insomnia thing was very interesting. And like what you guys are talking about it not being about who did the killing, it's more about like this character falling apart and stuff. I thought they did fine. I don't think they did that great, and it wasn't ever like fully interesting to me. It was kind of just like, oh, this is well done. Yeah. But not spectacular.
And plus the fact that Nolan is more of a hired gun on this movie. As opposed to sort of the captain of everything, you know, the fact that it's not a Nolan vehicle, I prefer both of Memento and Following a lot more.
Here, here.
So there we go. Currently, number one, Memento, number two, Following, and number three, Insomnia. This Friday, we'll continue Miyazaki in review with Castle in the Sky. And then this Tuesday, this coming up Tuesday, The Prestige. Finally, I'm going to see this.
Very excited about that.
I've never seen it. Someone recently told me Hugh Jackman's in it, and there's magicians, and I'm like, this sounds fucking awesome.
Tim, don't look at anything.
I'm not going to look at anything. I'm already sold. So, and also, I'm going to watch it. So, exciting stuff. Until next week.
Hoo-wah!